Amen. What a beautiful song. One of my favorites. I enjoy that song very much. I know that many of you all will think of this, and you'll do that this week. Pray for our pastor as he's gone on vacation. You all know the heart of a pastor is for his people. And exhausting, tiring after the addition of this building and everything that's happened this year. So you all just pray for Pastor. I know as they're going, I'm praying they have just a great week with his family. And the Wiggins family is also with them. So they'll be gone this week. And I know for our pastor, it sure is a blessing to have so many godly men in our church. You can step in the pulpit and fill this pulpit. And I'm thankful to be in a church where there's so many older men who are preachers and men who are great encouragers, aren't they? And tonight, Brother Greg Renz, who is a veteran missionary, a veteran pastor, and also a deacon in our church, pastor's asking to preach, and I'd like to say personally, he's been a great friend to me, and he's been a great encourager as a young preacher, and I appreciate him. Hope you have your Bibles ready as he comes to preach to us.
Thank you, brother. I'm sure he wasn't talking about me as being an older preacher. Isn't that right, Brother Clark? Yeah. You're as old as you feel, and sometimes that's not good. But our pastor and his family and Brother Wiggins and his family, I imagine, are pretty much on their way down south, and I'm glad that they have the opportunity to get away and just take some rest. Because when you come back, you're revived, and get the rest just does that. You know how it is, and so we're glad that they have gotten to do that, and just pray that it will be a tremendous blessing to them. I appreciate the privilege tonight, and I would ask you to take your Bibles now, and if you would please turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I won't ask you to stand this time, but normally that's what I do. Isaiah chapter 50. And I want to take some verses here and look at these because I believe they will help us in certain areas that we come upon in our life. So in Isaiah chapter 50, and I want you to look at verse 3 and 4. Along with verses 10 and 11. Now listen. The Bible says, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we have this place to come to each service. We're thankful for Sunday and the blessings that you give us during this day as well as every day of the week. We thank you, Father, for just the privilege we have to still be able to be free to come to hear your word preached. And I just ask tonight, dear Lord, that you would use this message to speak to a heart, comfort a heart, to instruct. And Lord, where it's needed. And Lord, tonight, through the preaching of your word, we want to honor and glorify you and be a blessing to those who have come to hear. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, like many of you, I have been praying for and thinking a lot about the Wildman family. I can't imagine what they're going through. In fact, it's hard to imagine the heart-wrenching feelings that they have each an hour of the day. I mean, it's just it's something that they cannot get away from. And I understand that. And if you and I had one of our children in that same situation, it'd be the same for us. And I know that they are trusting in the Lord, and as the pastor has said, they are a very good witness along this line. I know that there's probably friends of theirs that have sat and kind of scratched their head and said, I don't understand how they can do it. Well, you and I can't do it without the Lord. That's for sure. And we know that. Now, for them, right now, these are days of darkness. And, you know, one thing that happens when we go through days of darkness, we sure wish it would get over quick. But the thing about it is, a good part of the time, it does not. It will continue. Now, here in chapter 50 of Isaiah, we know that this is referring to Israel. Israel, of course, has disobeyed God. They are not walking as they should. They have turned their back on the Lord. And so he's explaining here that even though they have not been faithful, that God is still faithful to them and that he will send his servant, his son, the Messiah, to go and to come so that they may be saved. And I know this, that when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has suffered a lot in his time here on the earth because of his own people. But the worst suffering that he went through, of course, we know, was on the cross of Calvary, especially when the Heavenly Father turned his back on him because of our sins. Now, God is not going to turn his back on us. We don't have to worry about that. But can I tell you tonight that there are also times in a Christian's life when the lights just seem to go out and we enter a season of darkness. Now, I'm sure that everybody in here has experienced that. And we know that until the day that the Lord takes us home, those things are going to come upon us. Some of them we can kind of sail right through, but many of those times of darkness in our lives, it's awful hard to sail through them. And we cannot do that on our own. And when these times come to us, it's real natural for us to just simply ask God, why? Pastor alluded to this morning. But why is not really the question, because only God can answer that. But you see, our question should be not why, but how. How am I going to react to this darkness that I find myself in? That is the real question that you and I should ask during these times. What do you do when the lights go out? What is the discipline of darkness that comes in our lives? Because we know and we understand that there is nothing that comes into a Christian's life that has not been approved or been allowed by God. And it's comforting just to know that in itself. But praise the Lord, there's more to it than just that. So tonight I want to give you some biblical truths that hopefully you may fall back on when these times of darkness come along, when the lights seem to go out. And as we look into this, one of the first things that I want you to know and to understand is this. Those of great devotion may know the deepest darkness. Grab a hold of that. Those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. I want you to notice verse 10 again as we read that. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obey the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. He's saying, who of you are in this situation? How many of you are in this situation? In other words, even those who walk closely with God will experience times of darkness. Now, I want you to consider some of the saints of the Scripture. Of course, the first one we can think of is Job. Job, of course, the Bible says was a godly, upright man. But Job wrote this. He said, "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my path." That's Job. Job, who God said was a godly and upright man. And then we come to Habakkuk, because we know that Job, he didn't understand what was taking place in his life. It was just a dark time. But we come to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk prayed this. He said, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." You see, what was going on here is throughout his life and ministry, Habakkuk had been watching the spiritual and moral decline of Judah, and he continually brought that before God, but nothing ever happened. And so he prays this. He says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? I've been crying to you, and I just don't understand. You're not answering, and these people are going down and down and down, and you have not intervened. I don't understand." To him, I guess you could say that the heavens seemed like brass. And then we have John the Baptist that found himself in prison. It didn't make much sense that Jesus could work miracles and even raise the dead, and yet John was in prison. Why wasn't I out? He could do anything, but here I am, and I'm in prison. And so he asked this question. He said, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" He had a time of darkness there where things were not clear. And then even Paul, the great apostle, we know that some of the things that he has said, especially over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And he goes on and talks about that. And can I tell you that Paul had dark times in his life. There are things that I'm sure he did not clearly understand. And that is just some of the Bible characters that we know of that have had these types of experience. And matter of fact, great Christians of history have had similar experiences. So what this means to us, if you're in darkness right now, can I tell you, you're in good company. Amen? Because you're not the only one that's ever experienced that. And I want you to notice that Isaiah describes a person in darkness as one who feareth the Lord that obeyeth the voice of his servant. Isn't that what he says right there? So what he's saying to us is darkness does not mean that we have sinned or that we're out of the will of God. It doesn't mean that. You see, as believers in Christ, Charles Spurgeon said, we no longer walk in the darkness of sin and ignorance, but some may be called on to walk in the darkness of trouble and perplexity. Can I tell you that if you know anything about the story of Spurgeon's life, he had many times of darkness and depression in his own life as one of God's great ministers of the gospel. So this happens to us. That's the first thing we want to understand, that when we are in times of darkness, this is not an indication necessarily that something wrong, but that this is something that God allows to happen in our lives for a purpose. Now, along with that, I want you to understand this. You see, the faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. Now, that's important for us to remember. Many times it is in the darkness that faith grows the most. And it is in darkness that we have to trust the Lord and as he says here, stay upon him. Now, I want you to think about this. When have you grown the most spiritually? When have you grown the most? In sunny days when Everything seems perfect. We're at midnight when you cry out to God. I think we all can answer that question. It's certainly not necessarily when everything seems perfect. And the truth of the matter is that faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. And how you are in the dark, by the way, is the real test of your Christian character. And certainly God will test our character, because that is one of the ways He builds. Now, Warren Wiersbe said this, and I like this. He said, "We walk by promises, not by explanations." So when things are not clear to us, we don't worry about the explanation of what's going on. What we're concerned about is to remember the promises of God. Because when you are not able, through the darkness that you are in at that time, to understand and see or understand what's going on, really, you can always know this, that it has not affected the promises of God one bit. There's nothing that interferes with that, no matter how dark things may get for a Christian. The promises of God are the promises of God, and they work no matter what. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that in my life, and I know that you are. Now, here's the thing. So, what should you do when the lights suddenly go out? What do you do? What happens when the lights go out in your life? Well, to start with, verse 10 tells us we ought to look to the Lord. Now that's pretty simplistic, but a lot of times we fail to do that. We look to the Lord. Notice he says there in verse 10, let him trust. Just because things don't make sense to you doesn't mean they don't make sense. Right? Just because they don't make sense to us doesn't mean that they don't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, nevertheless, can I tell you, we just trust the Lord. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And the other thing is, keep praying. Don't stop even when things seem to get worse. You know, that's one thing the devil really likes to work on. You know, we can become positive in our thinking as we go into a time like this. And as it goes on, it may seem to be getting worse. And that's where the devil comes in and really jumps on that. See, you were real positive before. You were really trusting the Lord. But now things are getting worse. You see, it's not really working. But it is working. Because we're listening to the wrong voice. We're not relying on the promises. And don't stop praising the Lord in your darkness. And I'm not talking about praising the Lord for, "Oh Lord, I'm so glad you gave me this darkness, this trouble, and all." I'm not talking about that. We're talking about praising the Lord in that you praise Him, first of all, for the fact that He's in control of the situation that you're in right now. That He can see in that darkness even though you can't. We praise Him simply because we know that He loves us and that He's not going to let things get out of hand. He's in control. We praise Him simply because that we know that His Word is true and that we are relying on that. So we continue to praise Him through these times, even though we suffer in these times, because when we do that, we are praising Him, which is what He wants. And the other thing is, we're reminding ourselves of these very important things that we need to remember in these times. Isn't that not right? We need to remember those. Now, just keep praying. Don't stop. Now, the second thing to do is simply lean upon the Lord. Now, the word stay, S-T-A-Y, the word stay, is in verse 10, comes from the word staff. And just as a shepherd leans on his staff, you and I are to lean upon the Lord. And, you know, when you go out hiking, a lot of times they'll take a, what you call the thing, not a staff, but it's a piece of wood or whatever. And they'll use that to keep themselves steady. And sometimes when you stop and you're a little tired, you kind of lean on that thing and it kind of helps you out. But I want to tell you something, that when it comes to leaning on the Lord, it's a whole lot better than that piece of wood. I guarantee you that. It's a whole lot better. David said this. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me." I want to listen to me. Think about this, folks. It's better to be in a dark valley leaning on Jesus than on the sunlight mountain without Him. That's a truth that we need to remember. And, I think it's hard for us to understand that relationship is really more important than reason. It's relationship. It may be that we do not know why, in order that we may know who. And that's something that we learn as we go along. There's a little verse here that I think is significant. It says this: when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He's there. And certainly, we understand that. But you know, as you're in these times, there's something else that I think we need to remember, and that's this. Sometimes, some things, rather, I should say, are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. Have you ever thought about that? I want you to notice verse 3, what he says. He said, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their coverings. And then he says this in verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by warning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, folks, there just are some things that we can only understand in the darkness. You know, the stars that hang like chandeliers in the canopy of space are only seen when? In the darkness. Now, we understand that the stars don't come out at night because they're always there. And, you know, sometimes on the darkest night, what happens? The stars seem the brightest. Is that not right? And matter of fact, and sometimes we're not even thinking about the stars, and we go out on a very dark night, and I don't know, for some reason we just look up and we see how brilliant those stars are shining. And and the first thing we think about is, how great is God? Well, bring that down to earth. Bring that down here. Because He is able to do things that will brighten our darkness when that comes. Sometimes on the darkest night, we can see the stars the brightest. And isn't it true that in the daylight, we think the brightest thoughts, but at night, we think our deepest thoughts? And that's true. That happens. Now, sometimes the greatest treasures are discovered in the darkness. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." That's applicable to us in that He does know who we are, and He is able to give us some of the greatest riches that we can discover during the times of darkness. Now, darkness is not always the work of Satan. Understand that. It's not always the work of Satan. Darkness, some people think that that's what darkness comes from, only from Satan. But can I tell you this, that it is also one of God's ways to teach. When there is darkness all around, It's hard for us to understand. That's true. We know that. We've experienced that. But in the darkness, we realize the treasure of trust that fills the gap when we don't understand. We learned that treasure in times of darkness. Some things are seen in dark that cannot be seen in the light. But you know, another thing that I think would be comforting and of help to us is this. You know, it's better to lean on God in the darkness than to stand alone in man-made light. Verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, what this is a warning about lighting our own fire. Evangelist Ron Dunn, he said this, and it's kind of funny but true. You cannot look at a sundial with a flashlight and tell the correct time. And that's certain. But what the reference here is this. When you go ahead and kindle your own fire, try to get that darkness into light, basically you're not going to be able to tell what you're doing either. Because you cannot do that. That is not the way it works. And you know, we think about even some of the great believers of God in the Bible. Remember Abraham? He kindled his own fire after receiving God's promise of a son. Remember, he was tired of waiting, and so he produced Ishmael. And today, the children of Abraham, they're still suffering in the light of that man-made fire. You just got to look over there at Israel and that in the Middle East, and you understand that. Old Simon Peter, bless his heart, boasted that he would follow Jesus even to death. And then came the darkness of Gethsemane. Peter did not understand and tried to light his own fire, cutting off the high priest's servant's ear. And you know, that was a bad testimony because the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly how things needed to be handled. And he was handling them in the way, yes, that his father wanted them handled, but he also was handling them in a way that was a tremendous message to those around him. And what Peter did was to get in there and to do some things that really messed up that and what the Lord was trying to do. And I'm sure that Peter would walk in sorrow of the light of that light of the rest of his life. And so what we're saying is don't forget that man-made fire is deceptive. And in the time of darkness, don't be tempted to create your own light. And we are tempted to do that. And always remember that if you are fearing and obeying God when darkness comes, listen to me now, that darkness has been ordained by God. It has been ordained by God. And even when the darkness hides His face, you need to look and see because God is there to see us through. Now think about that. We can't see His face. We can't see what's transpiring. All we know is this is what's happened and this is the darkness that I am in. But there is one thing that will help you through this all, and that is the eyes of faith. If you are looking at these things and with the eyes of faith, you will be able to see some in the darkness. You will be able to do that, and certainly that is important for us. And you know, for example. You look for him. King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace and he exclaimed, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And if you have eyes of faith, even though that it's dark and it's cloudy and your understanding is dull, you don't know, can I tell you, there is a somebody else there, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, your Helper, and your Comforter, who is control. So when in times of darkness, simply don't create your own man-made light. And then one last thing I want to give you tonight, if you happen to be in this type of situation, or will be soon, I'm sure. You see, if your sun sets, be sure morning will come. I always like that. Verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. You know, dark nights will always come to an end. We may not think so, especially if they continue on. One of the first things that happens is that the devil makes sure that this idea sets in that there is no relief from this. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. He's real good about that. To get you to thinking negative, to get you discouraged, to let depression come in. And when that happens, you're defeated. You're simply defeated. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, God will turn your hurt to hallelujah. And every tear into a pearl. Your Calvary will one day be an Easter. And it was a dark night, I'm sure, for the disciples when Jesus, you know, was nailed to the cross. And he hung there. Matter of fact, the Bible says 3 hours of literal darkness. And I imagine to them it all seemed so deep black. And you think about it, his kingdom had shrunk to the narrow dimensions of a grave. But then came the glorious morning that changed all of that. And the Bible says, unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. And we like this other one in Psalm. Also, you and I know this one well. Weeping may endure for a night, but praise God, joy cometh in the morning. And it is that way. Now, didn't David say that he would walk through the valley of the shadow of death? That's what he said. Listen to me now. The God who leads us in is the God who leads us through. Don't ever forget that. Because one day, Jesus will pull back the curtains of night and pin them with a star. He will open the door of morning. And He will let in the sunshine of His love. And that day will be more wonderful after the darkness. After the darkness. The Bible says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You see, he doesn't have any problem with that. He is in control of all of this, and he uses what he needs to use. So what we're saying here tonight is this. When you go through darkness and come out on the other side, you will have learned things you never knew before. Let me ask you tonight, are you going through some time of darkness? Maybe for some it's a little bit. Maybe for others it's a heavy weight of darkness that you're going through. We think of the wild men. How do you think that they're handling this? I'm sure that there's a lot of anxiety that happens when there's a sickness, especially with your children. But one thing that they know, that all of this works together somehow. And you and I have to just be careful that we allow the one that brought us in to see us through to the other side. What's your burden tonight? What darkness do you feel like you're in? There can be all kinds of things we can consider in relation to this. But I know one thing, that there will be a morning, and it will shine bright, and it will shine gloriously because we have depended on the Lord. We have trusted in Him and we have leaned upon Him. Maybe part of your problem tonight is you're not leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this, He is there for these times. You don't burden God with your problems. What happens is if you do not bring your problems to God, your concerns to God, you're not obeying the Scripture because that's what He wants. In fact, He is the expert in all of those things. So you bring them to Him. And I encourage you to do that tonight. Would you stand with me, please?